Utah students and families battle the rising cost of higher education. A bill to fund preschool programs for at-risk children fails in the Utah Senate. Representative Jim Matheson introduces legislation to end straight ticket voting. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, March 6th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Every year, thousands of Utahns wonder how they're going to pay for college. Whether they're high school seniors, returning members of the military, or single moms and dads looking for a new opportunity, KUER's Whitney Evans reports the financial obligations that come with a college degree are usually the biggest obstacle.
If you have any questions, just let me know. I'll come around.
It's 8 p.m. on a Wednesday, and a group of about 20 parents and high school students are shuffling in and out of the East High School Library in Salt Lake City. They're poring over the tax documents and other information they need to complete the free online application for federal student aid, or FAFSA. It's the gateway for determining eligibility for federal and state financial aid programs like grants, loans, and work-study opportunities. Next fall, high school senior Helen Maldonado will be the first in her family to go to college. She plans to complete her general education requirements at Salt Lake Community College and then go to the University of Utah to study nursing or radiology. Maldonado is completing documents with her father, Jose.
It would be nice if I got a full ride to the U, but I have to look into more scholarships for that.
Once Maldonado completes her FAFSA, she'll have an idea of how much federal aid she'll be awarded, as well as how much money her family will have to pay out of pocket.
I do not want her to be bound to for life on a debt.
Jose says he hopes his daughter will not need student loans.
I'm going to try all my means to be free of debt and have a good life.
But he says if Helen does accept loans, he'll help her pay for them when she graduates.
We have different cultures, and she's my responsibility until she leaves the house. She could be 25, 30, but that's the way it is.
Steve Rogers with the Utah Higher Education Assistance Authority helps organize the free FAFSA nights. He says part of his job includes getting students who accept loans to consider their return on investment, to borrow wisely and exhaust all options before borrowing at all.
I mean, as in anything, we want to be very, very judicious and try and help people understand what are your interests? What are you going into? How is that going to compensate you when you're done with school?
But the reality is most students will accept loans to pay for their college education. Andrew Reeve is in a graduate program called MIAJ at the University of Utah. It's a mix of international affairs, economics, business, and law. He's approaching $60,000 in student debt.
And I tell most people I don't want to break $100,000. In debt, but I will if I have to, because I'm educating myself and someday hopefully it'll pay for itself.
Reeve says he didn't qualify for much financial aid and the scholarships he received dried up quickly. But he says he has more sympathy for his roommate who studies music.
I mean, I see him performing, I see him doing everything to get as far as he can, but there's no money in music. There's no money in art anymore.
Reeve says there are fewer financial opportunities available for people who aren't in engineering or medicine.
I think it's a huge problem for all of us. I keep spending and I keep taking out more and more loans just to get me through. And I hate it. I really do.
Joseph Richards didn't go to college in Utah, but he's facing a dilemma that's common for graduates. He accumulated most of his debt while completing his master's degree in Colorado. He's now gainfully employed as the manager of a hiring firm in Murray, but he still can't make regular payments on his $40,000 debt. Richard says he didn't consider the other debts he would amass after graduation.
I was unemployed for about 5 months, and obviously I'm not making money during that time, and I still have credit cards due. And so it's credit cards coupled with living expenses in general.
Richards anticipated, like many other college graduates, that a graduate degree would provide him the income to tackle the debt, but it didn't.
I feel like I'm at the point right now where I've come to terms with the fact that I will have student loans probably for the next 20 years or so.
According to a national report by the Institute for College Access and Success, two-thirds of college seniors who graduated in 2011 had an average of about $26,000 in student loan debt. That's up 5% from the previous year. Utah performed best on the list with an average of $17,000 in debt. But the out-of-pocket cost for students in the state is still on the rise. A decade ago, in-state tuition at the University of Utah was about $2,500 a semester. Today, a Utah resident will pay closer to $6,000 per semester. Utah public colleges and universities are funded by a combination of state tax dollars and tuition. In 2008, the ratio was about 63% tax funds and 37% tuition. Today, it's about 50-50, meaning students are paying more out of pocket than in previous years to make up for the state's dwindling contribution. Dave Bueller is Utah's Higher Education Commissioner.
The big change is, of course, we had some budget cuts during the recession. At the same time, between 2008 and 2012, we added 16,000 new students. That's the size of Utah State and Logan.
In the wake of cuts, Bueller says Utah colleges and universities are spending about $600 less per student than they were in 2008. He says that's an indication schools are operating more efficiently.
Also shows that we haven't used tuition to totally backfill the budget cuts that we had during those days.
Bueller says higher education officials are not bracing for cuts this year, but a tuition increase is expected. How large it will be depends on the budget state lawmakers pass at the end of the legislative session. Last year, the State Board of Regents approved a 4.5% increase, the largest since 2002. Bueller believes this year's increase won't be as significant. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
A controversial bill that would help create preschool programs for at-risk children failed in the Utah Senate yesterday.
Republican Senator Aaron Osmond's SB 71 would have created a unique private-public partnership that helped fund early childhood education programs for at-risk students. Private companies would invest the initial money to help the programs get started and subsidize student costs. Then, if the program helped districts avoid special education costs and eliminated the current achievement gap seen among at-risk students, the state would reimburse part, if not all, of the original investment. Among the several senators that voiced their concern before voting down the bill was Republican Senator Margaret Dayton. She says that closing the achievement gap isn't a noble goal and that we shouldn't be forcing parents to do anything.
If we truly want to close the achievement gap, all we've got to do is lower the top, if that's our goal. Our goal should not be aimed at closing the achievement gap. Our goal should be allowing kids to learn at their own rate at what's best for them.
Osmond says he is disappointed with the result, but that he doesn't have any plans on giving up.
I really believe that we can do better in helping our youth and the parents that care about them so much. These parents want these programs. They're asking for help. And I believe that it's an opportunity for us to save millions of dollars in our public education budget.
Osmond says he'll work on the bill during the interim and that he believes that given time and a little more understanding of what the bill does, that the other senators will come around.
A bill that would require schools to notify the parents of children who are being bullied or who have threatened suicide passed out of the Utah State Senate yesterday. Democratic Senator Luz Robles says SB 184 is aimed at helping parents share responsibility with the schools and allow them to be more engaged in what happens with their children.
This will help them get notified. As we were talking about this bill yesterday, another child attempted to commit suicide in one of our high schools here in Salt Lake City. So it is an issue that is happening, unfortunately, and we need to tackle this and make sure parents are part of the solution.
The bill also requires parents to sign a form recognizing that they have been notified by the school. The form will be kept private and can't be used by the school for any other purpose.
The bill that would let Utah restaurants take down their so-called Zion curtains passed to the State House of Representatives yesterday. Current law requires restaurants to keep liquor bottles and mixed drinks out of sight. House Bill 228 passed on a vote of 63-11 and now moves on to the Senate.
Utah Congressman Jim Matheson wants to ban straight party ticket voting in federal races. He's introduced a bill that would ban it in Utah and the 14 other states that still allow it. Matheson says it would help to bring attention to all the races on the ballot, whether for Congress or for local offices.
To blindly vote for down-ballot races, not even know who the people are, but just voting on party alone, that doesn't sound good to me. Maybe some people may disagree with me, but everyone I talk to at least says they prefer to vote the person over the party.
Matheson says his proposal is not a reaction to the very close race last year in Utah's 4th Congressional District, where he defeated Republican Mia Love by just a few hundred votes. Utah Congressman Rob Bishop says he's been hearing from worried constituents who work for the Defense Department. They're concerned about possible furloughs under the sequester. The spending reduction program went into effect last week and could cost some civilians who work at defense installations as much as 20% of their paychecks.
It's going to be a month before any of those furloughs will be implemented. There may be a chance to get some kind of mitigation. We will have a chance this week to give the military some authority to move some monies around to try and mitigate the impact of what will happen from sequestration.
Bishop says he's confident the House will vote to give the Defense Department more flexibility in dealing with budget cuts. Not sure what will happen in the Senate.
The Catholic Diocese of Salt Lake City has put several employees of St. Marguerite's School in Tooele on administrative leave because of allegations they were drinking during the school day. The diocese won't say how many people were put on leave, but it says no minors were involved. A board of trustees may eventually be given the job of distributing property from the trust once controlled by a polygamous church. A judge approved a plan to explore the option of a new board to govern the United Effort Plan, which owns most of the property in Hilldale, Utah, and Colorado City, Arizona. The state of Utah took over the trust in 2005.
Members of Utah's congressional delegation are asking the federal government for more time before it designates the Gunnison sage grouse an endangered species. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced a plan in January to list the Gunnison sage grouse as endangered. That included a 60-day public comment period. U.S. Senator Mike Lee and other members of the Utah delegation want to stretch that out for another 60 days. Jim Caitlin with the Wild Utah Project says this action really shouldn't have surprised anybody.
12 years of opportunities to actually work on this, and some landowners have. I know of several down there that have taken positive steps to improve the habitat and to help sage grouse.
The Gunnison grouse is a smaller cousin of the sage grouse found all over the West. It lives mostly on private land near Monticello in San Juan County. There are only about 100 of them left.
Kia and its parent company Hyundai have good success in naming car models after towns in the West. Think Sedona or Tucson. But the new Kia Provo is running into trouble. That's because Provo, in addition to being a city in Utah, is the nickname for a particularly vicious branch of the Provisional IRA in Northern Ireland. The mini sports coupe was unveiled for the International Geneva Motor Show, and it's years away from production, even if it keeps the name. Lawmakers from Northern Ireland have asked Kia to pick another name for this model. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, March 6th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.